she listens to podcasts. She listens to our show, but it's probably not something that she listens to as soon as it dropped. We are talking the other day, and she is referring to Ben Kissel from the last podcast on the left.
Yeah.
But she doesn't use his name. And in conversation, she says, you know, my favorite podcaster.
Oh, well, that's a slap in the fucking face.
Oh.
And I Ben Kissel is your favorite podcaster. She said, oh, yeah, by far.
Oh,
I do realize I'm on a podcast, right? That would make me a podcaster, content creator. I have never seen this woman turn so red so fast in my life.
Oh, my God. It was.
My loved ones are proud of me because I was able to stop my gambling habit.
What the?
Peekaboo, you fucks you. I see you, you motherfucker.
Do you want to talk or do you want to bet?
We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, 2 dozen emus.
Counting cards is a foolproof system.
It's also illegal.
It's not illegal, it's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal, too.
Yeah, maybe after 9/11, where everybody gets so sensitive. Thanks a lot, BitMod.
Hey, so what's going on, everybody? Vegas Confessions 14, mind you, for those of you who had Montana arithmetic, much like I did. You did notice we skipped a couple episodes, and I think maybe Julian will talk a little bit about why. But we have some awesome stuff on this podcast. This is actually that last episode kinda that we're going to have before we're in Vegas. Everybody, God, can't actually wait. It's going to be fantastic. So I'm going to do some shout-outs. We're all through shout-outs. And then, like we said in the beginning, you know, we have some talk about everything from sports betting, some history, and some confession calls, and just what we're going to do in Vegas, because we've been kind of battering back and forth about where we're going to go, who we're going to see, and, you know, it gets everybody pumped up. So my big shout-out, I'm going to start out with DJ Casaggio, because he, man, the guy is a guru, and he really helps me out a lot. And other than that, local, so for those of you who know, we've been kind of keeping up a little bit, I moved from Spokane, Washington to Salt Lake City, Utah. Hard to find a place to go in and look for mixers, audio, mics, everything like that. And Performance Audio here in Salt Lake City, I'm not making an advertisement for them or a promo, but I've been in there a few times and actually convinced them to listen. So they went in there last time, they're like, oh my God, I love the last podcast about da-da-da-da-da. So now they're listening. But those guys are like just hands down. I feel like I want to give a shout out because they really have stepped up just to help me and know which way we're going to go and what we want to do. And then last but not least, I want to talk about Michael Traeger. So Michael has just been, number one, he's a fucking awesome storyteller. The guy, I can sit there for hours and listen to his stories and his time, what he's experienced. I mean, just Jesus, guys. Amazing, right?
Oh, yeah. It makes me smile thinking about it. Good times.
God, it's just amazing. And the cool thing is so not only Zorkfest, which we've been talking about, but we got some really good feedback on the episode. Other people like the same thing that we like, which is just listen to him. And we can't wait. Again, what's the countdown now? 9 days, Vegas? Is that right?
I'm at 5.
Oh, you're at 5, you son of a bitch. Yeah, so I'm right behind you. I'm at 6. But that's awesome. But we can't wait. And that's going to be some of this episode. And then, that's my shout outs.
Awesome. I do have a few. Our buddy Vegas Attic on Twitter, he purchased a VC shirt. And in return, he's like, hey, Jay, you know what? How about instead of me giving you cash, I'd love to bring you out a couple Georgia Bulldog shirts, because he's from Atlanta, Georgia. Go figure. The guy, super nice guy. He's like, hey, I got a surprise for you. So when we're out in Vegas, he's bringing me some Georgia Bulldog shirts. If you guys haven't heard, my stepdaughter's going to be going to Georgia next year. So we're super pumped about that. So I thought that was really cool. And then also our buddy at Han Chicago, he caught the numbers and the way we episode the way we number the episodes, and he noticed 13 was coming up. So for you superstitious folks, just like the hotels in Las Vegas, we will be skipping 13 and 13.5. And I believe we have a voicemail coming from him as well. And my last shout out goes to Mr. Craig Stone from the Do for a Win podcast. We officially have a bet on the table. If the Las Vegas Golden Knights and his team, the Washington Capitals, make it to the Stanley Cup, the loser has to treat to Cereal World in Atlantic City at Ocean in June when we get out there. Super excited, and I thought that was pretty cool. As soon as I put it up on Twitter, he's all, you got a bet, let's do it. That's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, you know, we haven't really mentioned Do for a Win on here that much. So Kyle Askin and Craig Stone host the Do for a Win podcast. It's actually the first podcast that ever had me on. And they're great guys. It's an Atlantic City-focused podcast. If you have any interest in Atlantic City, I'd really recommend you give them a listen. Now, since you started off with sports betting, I'm going to continue down that road. So my shout out, now our shout outs usually go to listeners of the show. I have no idea if this guy has ever listened or will ever listen. My shout out goes to a man by the name of Gil Alexander. He's at Beating the Book on Twitter. Nice. Yeah. So he was actually the first guest on The Better Life.
Yep.
And he was the most recent guest on The Better Life. The reason why Gil gets the shout out, there's actually a couple of reasons. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the legalization of sports betting, which is a little bit of a misnomer. What really happened is PASPA, which is the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act of 1992, that was repealed by the Supreme Court. And New Jersey, where I'm from, is really where this started and who has pushed the issue. It's one of the better things that Chris Christie actually did, pun intended. So that was B-E-T-T-O-R things that Chris Christie did. But Gil Alexander, so I learned about him from the Better Life podcast, and I thought, you know, all right, this guy's kind of interesting, and I am admittedly a sports bettor. Yeah. But this guy is not just a good listen. He's really an advocate for sports bettors. He had a couple of issues with Cantor Gaming and with William Hill that he kind of brought to light, and he discussed it a little bit on The Better Life, on the most recent podcast. But if you watch him on VSIN, V-S-I-N, and he's on Sirius XM channel 204, I think is the VSIN channel.
Okay.
Not only is he a wealth of information, but, you know, for somebody I don't know, man, if you're listening, I want to buy you a drink. because really... So we are not the experts. You should definitely check out Gil and the people over at VSiN and the Better Life podcast, the most recent episode with Gil. You will learn a lot, and he's a good listen. And, you know, I hope that this message finds its way to him. Because, man, what a good guy.
I'm sure it will. And that you mentioned him, you know, Tim mentioned him in the show a while back when I was on The Better Life. And I had looked up what they were talking about, Tankapalooza. And I won a little money off that. And a little Vegas confession here. That's what's paying for some of my hotel rooms.
Well, that's good. That's good. I mean, I can tell you, you know, VSiN has Brent Musburger. Like, this isn't like just, you know, some guys from the back alley that they put up front, you know, that are,
you know, exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's really intelligent conversation. I really enjoy it, and for a sports bettor to have an advocate with a platform, we should appreciate that. And as sports betting in America grows,
hopefully,
or at least it's brought out of the shadows,
right, right,
people like Gil Alexander are going to be the ones that advocate for us. So, Gil, I thank you, and cheers.
So, as Eric was saying, on Monday the 14th, the Supreme Court struck down a 26-year-old ban on sports wagering across the country. So let's talk a little bit about what that means, man. I mean, obviously, it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for people to bet sports online all around the country. But do you see some states hesitant? Like, Shane, do you think Utah will actually not have it and go against it? Or what do you think, Eric? Do you think it's going to draw less people to Vegas now that they can just do it in their backyard, essentially?
Well, I'll let Shane answer his question
first. Yeah.
I think his is an easier answer.
I was going to say it's more of a joke than anything. We can't even get fucking legalized marijuana to be studied in this state, let alone passed along with other states. So I really don't think sports betting is going to work. Although, for those of you who have listened, you know, to our podcast, I did tell that story about going to Evanston, Wyoming. That's how they kind of pulled some of that off, was because they were loading the sports books into what they so-called the slot machines. You know, as far as everything else, man, it's going to be a state by state thing to see what it is. And I think how, you know, not only Vegas, but how Atlantic City is going to be changed a little bit by that. Now you have another facet. Now you have something else that is going to, you know, something else for people to bring. Is it going to pull them away from this or pull them away from that? That's something Eric actually was kind of talking about, you know, before we started recording. So what's your views, man?
I guess overall, we don't know. While this was really a states' rights issue that was in question, there may be federal oversight where eventually everybody's playing under the same rules.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. The thing that I'm really concerned about, and again, I want to preface this, we are not the experts on this, so please
don't write us letters.
Check. Go find Gil Alexander at Beating the Book. But the one thing that has been discussed on VSiN regularly is, you know, these greedy leagues that are now okay with it because they're going to see a percentage of the handle.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So they are looking to add additional fees, which will make it where, you know, if it's state by state, you may still need to go to Nevada, because you may only be able to get a good line in Nevada.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, that's a problem. You know, the guy that I guess hypothetically I would call, you know, he doesn't need to pay the fee, so he may give a better line. And then there's offshore around the world. There's plenty of places to get action down. So it may be a watered down product that becomes offered. As far as visitorship, Ted Newkirk and I were discussing this. I think it might have been in the Vice Lounge online group. You know, there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons why people go to Vegas. And as gambling becomes available in more and more places, people are really going to Vegas for the experience.
Yeah, you know,
So I may go once a year on a trip to Vegas where a couple of buddies and I, you know, we'll spend almost a whole day at a sports book. Even if, like I said, Monmouth Racetrack is 20 minutes from my house, I can go there and in a week's time and place a bet. They're not going to have a sports book. You know what I mean? Like, they'll have a place, they'll have a window.
It's coming up, though, to a certain point. I mean, you know, moving from Washington State, I got to say some of the larger casinos like Northern Quest and some of those other ones that I was used to going to, they just within the last like 2 years did a lot of renovations to include a sports book. And just gradually, you know, walking through these things, you see people kind of grow and grow and grow. I mean, it's been, I think this ball's been rolling down the hill for a while. It's finally gotten to this point, you know.
I'll tell you what's really exciting to me. So Gamblepalooza, what was that, a month ago, maybe?
Yeah.
A little bit more, right? So that was Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun. Tribal Properties, a Are they going to get to opt in or opt out?
You read my mind, sir.
Right?
So, yeah. So if, right?
If there are fees that are going to be levied on things that are federally sanctioned, does that matter to a sovereign nation? I mean, they can. I don't know. I want to be clear. I'll say it again. I am not an expert on this matter.
Right, right. We're just guessing, you know, at this point. I mean, we're shooting this around.
Living in New Jersey, you know, if the price on a bet is, you know, -120, in Nevada it's -110, and they can get a book together at Foxwoods that'll be -105. You know, if there's enough action, it's worth a trip to Foxwoods.
So, yeah. You know, let's take a bet right here amongst us three. You know, and I'm not much of a bet man. However, if you had to put a percentage in the next year of what you think that is going to do, if you think the tribal nations are going to be able to do that, I'm going to say it's a 60% chance that that's probably going to be pulled off. Just speaking of tribal reservations, just as they are, just because of what they do now. What you can have there that you can't have anywhere else, where states legalize it, whatever have you. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to be everybody already wants to dip their hands in it. Everybody already knows it exists. I think that tribal are just going to jump on board like everybody else. You know, I mean, the ones that don't have it out here to experience it and get their hands on it, because there's a lot of people out here, especially in California, we don't get, you know, some of those bet lines. I mean, you can't do that out here. And earlier, you know, AC for us, that was probably the only downside to it, is that it didn't have sports betting, because we were looking forward to it, and then at the last minute, oh, you know, we don't have it yet till next year. But to hear it was coming and it's happening now, it's really nice to see. So I think everybody's gonna jump on board at some point.
Yeah, we'll see.
What was the time frame that you said, Shane?
I give it a year. We'll see a year.
Yeah, in a year's time, it's gonna. So as far as the states are concerned, a lot of the state legislatures, you know, there's just not time to get this set up and be done.
Right.
New Jersey is one of the few states that, you know, did the groundwork. You know, we already have a gaming commission, right?
Yeah.
So it isn't as difficult. And Monmouth Park brought in William Hill. So it's not like they had to figure out how to run a book. They, you know, they just brought in a partner who already does it on a very, very, very large scale.
Subcontracting. That's great.
Well, they're all going to do that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All
oh,
around. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be Caesars, MGM, William Hill, Cantor Gaming. I'm sure there's a few that I'm not thinking of right now. But, I mean, that's what you're going to find. And the question is going to be, do the politicians and the leagues make it so that you can't get a good line? Because margins are pretty slim on sports betting for the book.
Right.
They're not.
And it's funny you're saying that. They mentioned something about the NFL was going
to. I heard about that.
The legislative branch or somebody, that they were just going to talk about, you know, the numbers and the way the numbers are laid and stuff. So, I mean, you know, the NFL is bringing a lot of money in, and to hear them say the day of that they're already looking to talk to legislatures, like, that's
Jesus
you
Christ.
Know something's up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll see how it works. Like I said, it's just another option of it, you know. And I, not to be a history nerd on my side, but, you know, it just amazes me the evolution of what this looks like now. We're talking about this in like 2018, when back in the 40s and 50s in Vegas, you know, they were doing the illegal sports wires where, you know, they would watch a race from back east and then know it, call, get to Vegas and do the bets and you know, scam that whole thing that the mob was involved in. It just blows my mind. You know, we're just doing it in a different era with some technology behind us. It's all we're doing in a way, you know.
Ask me if you think that bookies will go away.
Hell no.
You know, that depends on whether, I think that really depends on whether they can get the proper percentage on their side due to whatever law is put down, I would think. Right?
No. Nope.
You don't think so?
There's a much bigger piece that we're missing here.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever placed a bet with a bookie?
Just online type shit on my phone. Never with a person, no.
My bookie was actually the United States Navy, and that was a big mistake. So...
All right, so here's the deal. When you place a bet with a bookie, you just place a bet with a bookie.
Yeah.
they operate on credit.
Right.
When you go to a casino, when you go to what will now be a racetrack or wherever they have it, you have to front the money on the action. So the guy on the street who is making money is probably going to make more money because there will be more people interested in sports betting. He will operate on credit,
yeah,
which means true. You don't put the money down up front. Mm. I think if I were a bookie, and I'm not, but if I were a bookie, I would be really, really excited about this.
It's very true.
You lay it out like that. Yeah, okay. I see that.
I would think that there will be more people looking to get action down. And let's be honest, we spend enough time in casinos. There are degenerates that will...
I love that word.
That will... I don't love that word. but that is a... it's an accurate description for a certain percentage of the gambling public that will need/want credit. And, you know, that's something that casinos can't do. I mean, they offer you markers, but it's not really the same thing.
It's like a payday loan for gambling.
Yeah, but... I think the leagues are a huge winner in this. Those greedy fucks.
Yep.
Money.
I think the bookies are big winners, and I think the states who are going to get their fair share, they're the big winners in this. Gamblers are going to win because it'll come. It won't be something that needs to be so secretive or hidden.
A little bit more open.
I think there's. The people that are going to make the most money are not the books.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think we can probably wrap it up here soon. That being said, with so many, handicappers out there, and for people who are new to the sports betting scene or who are interested, like me and Eric were talking about earlier, there's so many phonies out there. There's people that are going to tell you they win 75% of the time. You guys, look up stuff. Check out VSiN. Check out Gail Alexander. The guy knows his stuff. If you're interested, if you've never done it, don't just jump on YouTube and check out these phonies who will tell you they win all the time and they know what they're doing. Give them a call. I mean, it's all shenanigans. I mean, I'm pretty sure Eric will agree. There's a lot of phonies out there.
Well, and not only that, but it's the same thing. Not to sound crude, but it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I win all the time. It's kind of like the size of your dick. Everybody just adds 2 inches. It's the same fucking thing. So, stupid. Anyway, so yeah, that's
Shane. You said yours was only 1 inch. How do you go negative?
Hey, god damn it, guy. I told you that in secrecy. You're a son of a bitch. So what we're gonna do from here, sports bets, amazing. We are gonna roll into some confession calls that we got. They're starting to kind of roll in a little by little. We've got a few lined up. There's one that I think we're gonna kind of discuss after the fact, which is a good friend of ours. And yeah, here we go.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I have a confession.
Go on.
Go on.
I've kind of sin cityed.
What's happening, guys? This is Magoo, or at Gambling Magoo. And I am calling in with my very first Vegas confession. I once lit a girl's hair on fire in Vegas. So I was sitting at the bar in Banger Brewing that is, or was, elegantly lit by real candles. After downing a few beers, I asked for the bill, and she handed me an iPad to pay. Due to drunk user error, I couldn't get the damn thing to take my card, and I asked her for some help. She leaned in across the bar, and I leaned in, pushing the candle I had been admiring forward with my elbow. Her long, straight hair fell right into it. I am not sure what she had in her hair that day, but 20 or so strands of hair lit up like the fucking 4th of July right up the side of her head. She ran to the back, and I sat, awkwardly, unpaid, deciding on an appropriate tip for this situation. I think at least enough to cover new hair extensions. Anyway, keep up the great work. Looking forward to seeing you guys in just a few weeks. Cheers.
Hey, gentlemen, this is Sean from Augusta, Georgia. Just want to call in to you guys. I know I was talking to Julian for a few minutes online, and we were just talking about different things we wanted to do when we got up to Vegas Vacation 6 just in a couple weeks. And wanted to get your opinion on a couple things. I've never been to Mandarin Bar, and heard amazing things, has a great view, and so it's definitely on my list of things I'd like to do this time. And El Cortez, I'm a low roller, and from what I hear, they've got a lot of low-limit things, and I've been to Fremont, but I've never really explored a whole lot except for what's really right there under the canopy. And yeah, I know we were talking about places we love, like Ellis Island. I always have to make a trip there. And but no, I just want to get your idea on those. I know we are scheduled to have a meeting at Skyfall Lounge, which is another thing that I can't wait to knock off my list this trip. And I know one of the big things I always look forward to is the week before, I always have to watch, you know, my certain Vegas movies. You got Ocean's 11, Ocean's 13, Movie 21, Vegas Vacation, and the night before, I always watch The Hangover. And those are my big things I always really enjoy doing right before the trip as I'm packing, and, you know, if I have to pack a couple weeks ahead of time just to make sure I have everything and to kind of help me calm down my excitedness to get out there. But no, I just want to get your opinion on a couple of those places and see what y'all say, see what's worth taking the time out to do, and maybe pass and save it for a later trip. But I love listening to you guys. You guys are awesome, and or as Shane would say, beyond awesome. And look forward to meeting you guys in a couple of weeks. See you guys.
Hey, Shane, Julian, Eric. This is Han from Chicago. I'm just giving you a quick call to confess something that I did back in 2014. So I've been holding this in my heart for a while. Anyway, back then I was going to Vegas for a milestone birthday, and I had started the trip out playing some blackjack tournaments out in Summerlin at the Suncoast and Rampart. I talk about this in an old 500 episode, number 443, and I remember this episode because it's called Nervous Peeing. Anyway, if you want to hear me talk about my wins, you can go back and listen to that. Anyway, I won about $600 from winning those tournaments. I won first place at Suncoast, and I was fifth place at Rampart. All right, so, I mean, that's a great way to start out a trip, right? You know, like, how else better can you start? So, you know, then I was staying at the Aria Sky Suites, and then I switched over to the hotel, and then later I went over to Hotel 32. These are all MGM props, and these are all kind of fancy, high-end, bougie places that probably Eric wouldn't mind staying at. So anyway, I was staying at those places because it was a fancy birthday celebration, and for the first time I was staying with my friend Eugene from San Francisco, and then my wife joined me for the second part. Now, I'm mentioning all this stuff because I want to get some context for what happens next. So I was playing with my winnings, and I went to the Silverton playing two-deck pitch. I didn't do very well there. I started losing quite a bit, hemorrhaging a lot of money. I think I lost about maybe $200-$300 there. I got frustrated. I went back to the hotel, which was where I was staying at that point of the trip. And the hotel is the predecessor for Delano, if you're wondering what I'm talking about. And they had placed me on the 22nd floor of that hotel, which I will never stay on floor 22, which is one more than 21, and 2 plus 2 equals 4, which is death in Chinese. Anyway, what happened is I got frustrated. I took the rest of my winnings and then the other gambling budget I had and went down to Mandalay Bay and proceeded to lose it all pretty much in – I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 hours playing $25 to $50 a hand. And I was extremely frustrated, you know, you just like from the heights of winning those tournaments to the depths of losing. And I was just like, screw Vegas. I'm not going to come back here anymore. What am I doing? And, you know, I kind of pride myself in not losing control and, you know, walking away when it's sensible. But I think it just didn't work out that trip. And I was just going to stay away from Vegas for, like, I don't know, a year or so, maybe more. Okay, so here's part two. So I was going to stay away from Vegas for a while because I was just frustrated with the whole thing. But then about 4 or 5 months after I left, I got a flyer in the mail with a comp offer from Delano, which was just opening. It was a three-night offer and with a $400 in comps for meals and entertainment anywhere in any MGM prop. And I was just flabbergasted. I was like, well, what did I do to deserve this? Probably not a lot, actually, if I think about it. But, you know, I figured they saw me gamble big and they were staying at some fancy places. And I think that was kind of a little bit of a eureka moment for me with comps. I mean, I wasn't definitely not playing or angling for comps, but if you represent yourself big, I think you can get such comps. I still think they were trying to develop me, quote-unquote, as a player, and so they gave me this offer. And so, you know, I went back to Vegas. Obviously, my wife gave me the green light, and she came with, and we stayed at Delano for three nights and had a great time. And I did not gamble anywhere close to what I did the previous time, and they were probably disappointed, and I didn't get such comp offers afterwards. But there's kind of a lesson there to be had. I don't know what to make of it all, actually. You know, maybe Eric can analyze this and have some thoughts. Maybe you guys, Shane and Julian, have some experience with this kind of thing. I wish I could say that I had some kind of like prehistoric man experience moment from like 2001 where I was flinging the bone and I became a comp master after that. That definitely did not happen. I still play pretty modestly, and I don't really get that many comp offers anymore. But yeah, that's just something I wanted to confess. I just think that, you know, you just have to control yourself a little bit, but sometimes you get lucky even after you lose. So take what you can from that, and thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the good work. Take care. Hey, guys. I wanted to follow up one more time with something I thought about after leaving my messages. I just want to remember, like, at this this last trip to Gambapalooza, I was with Eric, and I had gone up pretty fast in my winnings on the very short trip, and I you know, went up a couple $100 playing blackjack and Mohegan Sun, and although there was still a lot of time to still gamble, I decided not to play anymore. And Eric said to me, like, hey, so you're taking a knee. And I was thinking, oh, that's an interesting concept, to take a knee. I think it's important to keep that in mind sometimes, because just enjoying and relishing the win is sometimes much more satisfying than continuing to play. Now, that might not have been the case on my trip back in 2014, because I had won so much so early. But if you're like maybe midway or almost done with your trip and you're up, maybe just close up shop and enjoy the rest of your trip after, you know, taking a knee. All right, take care.
You know, it fucking tickles me pink every single time someone calls in. I mean, it's just absolutely awesome. So yeah, especially thank you, Chris. And then Sean too. Yeah. We can't wait to meet everybody that, you know, that's been in this journey and part of it. And Vegas is a short time away. So shaking your hand and drinking a beer
really,
is going to
really
be awesome.
Cool. They're reaching out, wanting to hang out, and they're excited about coming out and just meeting everybody. I mean, it's overwhelming. And that's what we wanted to do with this podcast, is meet a lot of friends, meet a lot of new people from different places. And I think Gambling Magoo, I think he's from Canada, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. Cool. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. And then Eric, our buddy Han.
Yeah. So Han called in, and he and I have had a little bit of a discussion around this, so I can probably add a little bit more context to the call. So he mentioned, you know, holding this in his heart for a couple of years. I think you're being a little tough on yourself, Han. So we've all definitely had that situation where we're up early and maybe it would have been better to, as I say, take a knee, you know, run out the clock on the trip. It's funny, though. So you can look at this a couple of different ways. So Han was up early. He gave some play. He gave more play than he normally would. Wound up giving it all back and then maybe some more. But then he got the comp offer because of his play. Now, I will never suggest that you should keep playing beyond your means for comps, but I will say that sometimes you have to play more to get the comp that you want, and if it's within your budget, it might make sense.
Yeah.
Right? So money matters, and you shouldn't be throwing good money after bad. You know, if you're losing, you're losing, and everybody should have kind of a line in the sand that they won't cross. But in Han's case, it's interesting. You know, he got a great offer from Delano, and it came with, you know, additional free play, and he was kind of able to find the right weekend where he could maximize the value for the comp, right? So whatever it's worth to him to have that nice room on an expensive weekend. And he got the free play. So did he really lose, or did he really give them enough action where he wound up getting another free weekend, which was probably worth about as much or more than what he lost? Now, if he short played on that next trip, of course, they're going to cut him off. He did get that. And there's always that, I don't want to call it hope, because there's enough data points out there to understand what you need. But, you know, he felt really bad about, you know, giving back the money. But the consolation prize, really not that bad. And when it comes to taking a knee, you know, this conversation started over at Gamblepalooza. I was up very early on, and there was nothing for them to offer me. And when he asked me if I would join him at whatever, or if I was going to gamble with the group over there, I told him I'm kind of done. I'm going to take a knee for the trip. I'm up. I've hit the number that I wanted to win. Nice. And they can't take that back. So let's have a good time and run out the clock on this trip. It kind of cuts both ways. There's no right answer other than, you know, if you're given a great offer, are you going to take them up on it?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So does that future comp offer hold enough value to warrant what you might possibly give back? And in Han's case, I can make an argument that it does, because he kind of gambles as a low roller, but he does have high-end taste.
Yeah.
So, you know, going to that next level and, you know, maybe playing more than you normally would to be able to get that room that, you know, at that point in time might have cost, you know, $300-$500 a night plus the free play. I don't think he was really a loser in that scenario. And Han, I'm sure you're listening. I think you're taking this to heart, and really, I mean, we all know, you know, unless you're an AP, your expectation is that you're going to lose. All you can hope for is that you generate enough comps that you had a good time and the losses are less than the expected value of what you're going to get in return. And, you know, he's got a level head about it. So, Han, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, man, every call that comes in, and, you know, that take a knee, Jesus, we should make shirts to say that, you know, fucking amazes me, because nothing more devastating than somebody who's a gambler and they don't have that control button where they're just absolutely devastated and they can't, they're so mad, they're so frustrated, they're so upset that they just keep putting money into that toilet bowl and there's nothing they can do to come back. It's just an awful setup. So, you know, knowing you're up, knowing you can walk away, or knowing when your losses are your losses, there's really something to be said about that for sure. So anyway, with that being said, for those of you who want to call in, by the way, our number, 559-461-7488 is our hotline. You can leave a three-minute message and do that. You can also email us at vegasconfessionspod@gmail.com. It's like Christmas every single time we get something and we open this up and you guys are introducing yourselves and what your loss was, what your confession was. I mean, that's the whole name of the game on the internet, and what our confessions, what we got this podcast for. So we can't wait for you guys to do that. Stand by for a quick promo.
Every year, over 40 million people travel to Las Vegas, with each person creating as many as three memorable stories per visit. This means annually, over 120 million stories about what happened in Vegas have been left behind in Vegas, abandoned, scared, and alone, leaving the city with a massive story overpopulation crisis. This is why Faces and Aces Las Vegas has partnered with Vegas Confessions to bring you the stories that have been left behind in Vegas. By downloading and listening, you'll be hearing stories that deserve to be set free. Please, for as little as 2 hours a week, you can make a difference. What happens in Vegas doesn't have to stay in Vegas anymore. Faces and Aces Las Vegas is available on most podcasting platforms. Visit the website at facesandaceslv.com and follow the show on Twitter at facesandaceslv. Won't you download and listen and help set these stories free? And together, we can help solve the story overpopulation problem by releasing them into the wild.
So, you know, another thing that we, you know, all this talk about our Vegas trip and what we're doing in Vegas in general leads us into this discussion. And you guys probably could give two shits what we're doing, what we're not doing. But there are there's just some cool stuff that we want to see and where we kind of want to go. And, you know, we're all kind of planners and schedulers to that certain point about what's going to happen every day. What the hell, guys? What do you think on this trip?
You know, I have a couple of places I'm looking forward to is Circus, since I've heard so much quote-unquote great things about it.
I can't believe you're doing that shit, dude.
I want to check out that place. We do have plans to go check out the Neon Museum, the Atomic Liquor that we didn't get to make it to. I want to try that Scorpion shot I heard on Faces and Aces, the Taco Bell drinks, just because I'm not a big drinker. I like the drinks anyway, so I might as well try something good. Eric's restaurant that he mentioned, Ping Pang Pong, Dirt Dog. I have the Las Vegas Donut Bar, also a couple of restaurants that we'll be doing some reviews on that I've already looked up. So, I mean, I got some plans. Wednesday, I'm going to get together with whoever's there, go try food. I've already had people reaching out on Twitter. Hey, we get in Wednesday. We're going to go, they say, Craps Table Marathon, and then we're going to Pizza Rock. So, I mean, they already have some ideas out there. So it's going to be a blast, man.
Dude, man, I can't wait. By the way, I mean, you get on Wednesday, I'm coming in Thursday. Do not go to Circus without me, because I want to be by your side when we fucking walk into that shit bowl. You know, they got to do something with that. But at the same time, it's like history, and it's so surreal that you just really won't believe what's going on in there. It's fucking scary is what it is. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry, man.
Sorry. So the thing on Twitter that you were mentioning, I'm actually looking at it. So it was Chris. It was at Gamblin' Magoo.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got this schedule down. Like, the only thing he left out were bathroom breaks.
He was that guy.
He's got, like, every half hour. I got to be honest with you. I don't operate this way. Like, when I go to work, I have a calendar that looks like this, kind of.
Right.
But I can't Vegas like this. Like, I've got, like, I don't know. I could tell you two things that I'm going to do each day, and then everything else is just going to happen organically around it.
Yeah.
Nice. This is, I mean, he's got, like, he knows.
Just to clarify, was he the one that broke down the block graph? Was that him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. That makes sense. Was Chris. So, I mean, he's got, and I don't even know how the heck he could accomplish this, like, it's like every half hour.
Yes. Changes,
right. So like he's checking out a Mirage at 7 o'clock in the morning. Dude, why check out at the Mirage at 7 o'clock? And then he's having breakfast at Ellis Island at 7:30.
Kudos on you.
This is cool. And right, I hope it works for you.
Yeah.
There is no way I could live like this. This is.
Wow. Well, just a tidbit, actually. Vegas Vacations 5, where I met my other wife, I was with – the first night I spent time with Pat and his crew, and they had the same thing. Like, they had this printout going on, and they broke it out, and they all unfolded it, and they looked at it. IT guys, go figure. And they unfolded it, and they're like, oh, we're going to go here and here and here. And it was a fucking great night, but, man, there was so much stuff kind of jammed into it. You know, again, Eric, I can do maybe two or three different things. There's things I know I want to see. But man, you just kind of, some of that stuff, you know, it you wander and it takes you a while to get to point A to point B. So, you know, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm a casino hopper, but I can't be in a different casino every 30 minutes. That's just not going to, I don't know. I don't have the ambition, I guess, on my side.
Here's my, and Chris, please either call back or tweet at us. Here's my question. Right? Like, I am looking, so day two is Friday, and you've got different casinos with gambling listed on there. Like, what if you're on a heater? Like, do you leave a hot table because the clipboard of fun says that you are supposed to be at the next casino in 12 minutes?
Clipboard of fun. See, I left that whole thing out because I'm not a big gambler, so I don't even equate that into my whole calculations of what I'm doing. That's true.
All right.
That's true.
Now, Chris, I'm talking to one listener now, right? But Chris, listen to me. You are going to the Essence Dispensary. I'm trying to follow your graph here.
What's he eating next?
after dispensary, he's going to ride share to downtown and go to MSS. You know what? We probably, I mean, he put it out publicly, but I probably shouldn't be giving his name.
Yeah, right. I was going to say. Yeah, just FYI.
Probably a bad idea. But here's the point, Chris. At whatever time you're going to be, wherever you're going to be, if you're adding in the dispensary, to think that you're going to get from one place to another within half hour blocks of time, either you are like a super pothead that this really doesn't mean anything to you and you can just go on about your business, or you've really very rarely, if ever, smoked pot or edibles or whatever.
Right.
You got a lot of stuff going on. And if you're doing this after the dispensary, wow, good on you, man. I can't roll like that.
And I'm just going to add, if you're taking anything that you just recently purchased from the dispensary, you can cut down about 3 hours of that schedule, throw it the fuck out, because you ain't going to get there. That's not going to happen. You know, you got a little downtime and whatever's going on around you. So, but that, man, kudos for efficiency. That's fantastic. I love it. Absolutely love it. But on my side, you know, I don't have a lot. I know I want to one of my goals, and Jules, you got to help me on this because you've been there before. Right. Remember when, because you're a cap wearer, right? Like whenever I see you got that cap on. When we went to Stage Door, we didn't have to take our hats off, right? It was like afternoon time frame.
Oh, hell no. Okay. The hell we did it. Remember, I was drunk, and we were getting ready to leave. And I kept putting the thing on because I thought we were leaving. And security's like, dude, take your hat off. I'm like, oh, shit, my bad. We're just leaving.
Hat off. Okay. See, so I thought there was a certain time.
Yes, no hats.
Okay. All right. So I thought there was a certain time where you could wear hats because this is a stump up. So Chris off Faces and Aces, I recommended that place. And I go, dude, just for the sheer history and sliding when you walk in the door 10 feet till you get to the bar counter because nobody mops the floor in that fucking place, you have got to go to Stage Door. But he wouldn't go in because he had to take his hat off. That was one of my goals, to make sure he went in there. But I thought for some reason during the day you can have your hat on, but maybe not because you took yours off.
Gang related. There's no,
it is. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you're really selling it. I mean, I know. You got to take off your hat to make sure you're not a gangbanger. Like,
this is class A all the way. I mean, other people talk about places in Bellagio they want to go to. I'm like, man, I got to check out the Stage Door. It is sad. It really is sad. But there are some high end places that I would go to.
You better be ready for Chris never to talk to you again, because if he does go in there and he's very disappointed, he's more than likely not talking to us because of that. So probably. Just be ready for that.
so that's that's so funny. That's one place I want to take somebody to. Actually, and Jules, again, that's one of the best times we had. Another place that is kind of a high end, and I recommend to anybody, most people that kind of go to Vegas kind of hear it, and on the Twitter feed we hear it. If you have not been to Oaks and Ivy and Container Park, you guys are missing something. It is a fantastic, it's not very big. Again, it's I think there's 10 seats it's literally a container and they put a bar in it. But the people who mix the drinks, one actually left to open up, I think Corduroy, he's the manager that's in a place downtown. But there's another guy that's there, and it's just amazing the concoctions they come up with. It literally is artwork. We tried to go when I was a Julian, and I think was there another Chris from New York that was with us? When we went down there?
From New York, yeah.
Yeah. And we tried to get in, but it was kind of busy and it was, kind of closed down type thing. That is a place that really has to get visited if you guys haven't been there, because it is pretty amazing. Downtown has a lot of little hot spots and small little holes in the wall. Speaking of holes in the wall, 420, shut up, Julian. They opened up the Mom Museum, and they opened up the Prohibition Bar there, where you can go in and literally secret knock on the door type thing. But if you have a ticket, you get in there. I think you get one free drink, I think, is their recent promo. But that's something that I haven't been to before. That was after the fact that we went. So that's something that I want to go to. As well as there's a barbecue place down at Container Park that Jules and I ate
at. Yeah.
And it was really, really good. Ellis Island's a first stop always. And there's one weird one that, again, Chris from Faces and Aces, we're going to try to throw it in there. And Jules, I think, wants to go too. And Eric, by all means, the Haunted Museum, Zach Bagans. They have one that's – and it's not on the strip, but it's a little bit out. And just, you know, if you guys don't listen to the other podcast, Strange Uncles, that's kind of what we do. And that's kind of what I want to go to. So those are kind of the ones I want to kind of migrate, along with everything else in Zorkfest that's going on, the dinner, the podcast is after dark, and the meet and greet for 360 as well. So a lot of stuff going on, and we just absolutely can't wait to get there.
Yeah. Speaking of a lot of stuff going on, my wife mentioned, hey, you're going to have a lot of fun. I said, I am. I said, I also got plans to do a lot of work out there. She said, what do you mean? I was like, I got a hold of some friends out there. The Trooper, Poker Kraut. We're going to doing some vlogs, raiding restaurants, checking out a bunch of different places. Not to forget the Keith Lyle comedy show. I mean, that's going to be fun. Yeah. I know a couple people are talking about Cabana Sunday at Plaza. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. If you guys are interested, come out to this event, meet up with everybody. And again, don't be a stranger. It is so much fun to meet these people, man.
You got any more tidbits on your side, Eric?
I will be pretty much held up with Zorkfest and Podcasters After Dark. So preparation, pre-event, then the event, then post-event. I will, and I believe we're all going, what is it, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, 6:30, the 360 Vegas family meet and greet at Skyfall Lounge at Mandalay Bay.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, 360. Can't wait to meet everybody.
Yep. We will be there. Come on out and see us. I have an interesting story that you might.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is not Vegas related, but it's very rare that I throw my wife under the bus, but I find it kind of humorous. So,
okay.
So we are talking, and she listens to podcasts. She listens to our show. But it's probably not something that she listens to as soon as it drops. She's not really a huge fan of Vegas. She doesn't gamble.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really like for the people, not for the content.
Yeah.
So we are talking the other day, and she is referring to Ben Kissel from the last podcast on the left.
Yeah.
But she doesn't use his name. And in conversation, she says, you know, my favorite podcaster.
Oh, well, that's a slap in the fucking face.
Oh.
And I just smiled and I let her continue. And then I said, so Ben Kissel is your favorite podcaster? She said, oh, yeah, by far.
Oh.
And I said, so we're not talking about content. We're talking about the actual person. She's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he's the best. And I just let it play out, and she continued to talk. And I said to her, you do realize I'm on a podcast, right? That would make me a podcaster, content creator. I have never seen this woman turn so red so fast in my life.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. At least she didn't fire back with, well, you guys aren't even real. You know what I mean? It could have been worse.
No, it was nothing like that. And if she ever screams out Ben Kissel in the middle of the night, then we'll have a different problem.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But until then, I can accept the fact that he is far more experienced than we are.
And, you know.
Sir.
Note to self, I will reach out to Ben Kissel in last podcast on the left.
Right. Exactly. I was going to say that might be kind of my fault because we, your wife and I talked about what you're, before you were involved in this, you know, this, the baby we have going on here. That, I mean, it's a great podcast, last podcast on the left. And Ben Kissel actually is pretty good. And I kind of, you know, I said, oh, this is awesome. Da, da, da. I'm sorry. I just got to say, I'm sorry.
She was listening to it before she met you. That's it's no issue. I just thought it was a funny story. So, you know,
that's funny.
If I can't be my wife's favorite podcaster, I can't expect our listeners, you know, to feel the same way. We're just keeping it real. That's okay.
Right. Right. No, you know, and I will say safely to that thing. We're a Vegas oriented podcast. This is what we enjoy doing. We just love talking about it, dreaming about the people, you know, Twitter, everything else involved. But there are other podcasts out there, and just podcasting in general, man. I mean, if you look at the 40 that I have rotating out on my thing, it really is across the board. And same with Julian, same with Eric. I mean, it's not all gambling, not all Atlantic City, not all Vegas. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Last podcast on the left is one. And there just is really a lot of good stuff, and to be part of the community, man, kick ass. You know, I can't really knock that. So
really neat. Like I think I messaged you guys this past week. I just listened to an episode and they were mentioning their Patreon. They had like 200 names in a row. Like that's amazing, and it just goes to show they're putting in the work, man, and they do a good job. They're funny to listen to. I mean,
yeah, they've been doing it for I think they've been doing it for like 7 years. So they've been out there. They've been doing good. But, you know, in general, that's awesome. That is our talk, I think. Does anybody have as far as where we're going, what we're going to do, kind of? I'm kind of loosey-goosey. I think all of us kind of are to a certain point.
Excuse me?
No.
Vegas.
All right, everybody. So, yes, that is Vegas Confessions. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We try to put a bunch of content, what we can, in there. Again, you know, we absolutely can't wait to see you in Vegas and everything that's going on. Yeah. What do you have, Jules?
I look forward to seeing you guys, man. This is the week. We are ready. We are the idiots all wearing Vegas Confessions shirts. Come and say hi.
So a couple of things real quick. Wanted to add to my shout out earlier, but I kind of got on the Gil Alexander kick. Coach Fav from Casinos USA podcast. He's been a friend of the show and has been reaching out quite a bit. And I just wanted to make sure to mention Casinos USA. They're a bunch of craps players. They travel around the country. It's a fun listen, and, you know, he's been a stand-up guy and a friend, so why don't you give them a try? And then I wanted to give you a little bit of inside baseball that might get me in trouble, but I think it should be said. Podcasters After Dark, sponsored by The Better Life. You'll notice we always throw in that sponsored by The Better Life. because... Timothy Lawson sponsoring the event monetarily, right? He couldn't be there. He wanted to contribute. So Treasure Island is a strip property, and their drinks are strip property prices. So everything that we were looking at, no matter what you were going to drink, could have been a beer. Treasure Island wanted to charge $12 plus tax and gratuity for any drink.
Yeah, really.
So, yeah. So Michael took the sponsorship money and basically is using that money to subsidize the price of drinks. So Michael's still paying $12 per drink. But for those of you attending the event, due to the sponsorship money used to subsidize, drink prices will be $5 or $6.
Wow.
Okay. So I just want to be clear. Michael's doing this, and he's doing it with Timothy Lawson's money. So to the two of them, I say thank you. So if you are coming, take advantage of the drink tickets. All right. They are available at travelzork.com. And when you get your $5 or $6 drink, depending on how many tickets you buy, raise a glass and, you know, say cheers to Michael and Timothy, because if it wasn't for the two of them, drinks would be $12 plus plus. And that's not quite as much fun as five or six. So with the same amount of money, you can have an awful lot more thanks to the two of them. If I disappear in the middle of the night, it's because I've shared too much. I think this generosity should absolutely be mentioned. So awesome. Thank you all for listening and cheers.
Cheers.
To me only, that's all I ask, and I will drink to you.
How long I've been on?
When you're drinking, the show looks good to you. When you're drinking, you get stinking. It helps your point of view. When you're sober, the skies all seem gray. When you're sober, life's a pain. So keep drinking, that's what I'm thinking. 'Cause it's what I love to do. I love Chicago. Carefree and gay. I'd even work here without any pay. I'll lay you off, turns out that way. That's why this gentleman is a tramp. My clever agent, he worked out this deal. He said, go to Chicago, it won't be for real. And I believed him, I'm such a schlemiel. That's why the gentleman is a tramp. I love the free, fresh booze that you get. So I'm in debt. I'm flat. Last night some girl gave me a green stamp. That's why this gentleman is a tramp. My wife just told me, have I news for you? The doctor's sure that I'm way overdue. Wait till she finds out my girlfriend is too. That's why the gentleman, that is why the gentleman, that's why the gentleman is, oh.